All right, let's go ahead and get to our. Sorry, the mute button came up there for just a second. So long as you can hear me okay, we're going to continue on here on the Zoom hotline here. Warren Martin is our guest. Kansas Strong, as you can read on his shirt, for those of you who join us on the YouTube channel or I guess Substack as well. If you're on the radio, Warren Martin, executive producer of Kansas Strong. And he was recently at March Madness. You witnessed the thrilling overtime loss, Kansas Jayhawks against the University of Arkansas Razorbacks. And talk a little bit about the experience and how Kansas Strong is involved with the universities.
Yeah, sporting venues have been a great avenue for us here at Kansas Strong. Well, I've talked a little bit about this on the show before, but our goal is to try and hit that messy middle. There's about 11% of the state of Kansas that absolutely hates the oil industry. They don't have anything to do with it in any way, shape, or form. About 23% of the state loves the oil industry, and we really don't try and do messaging to, for the most part, to either one of those components. We're trying to hit that messy middle, especially that 40% approximately of people who are right in the middle who say that they do not have enough information about the oil and gas industry to really make a determination whether we're good or bad. And those are the people we want to talk to, and we want to get them the facts and the figures and the understanding of what we do, how we do it, why we do it, why it's important to you, why it matters to the world. And we have found that sporting events is a great way for us to communicate that message and hit that messy middle that tends to be the people who show up at these sporting events. And we sponsor K-State, KU, WSU, all in the state here, as well as a few other junior colleges and smaller D2 colleges, and really try and have that conversation in those public forums. And it's been really good for us. And we were privileged enough to have some sponsorships around the NCAA tournament. We had one of the tournament, one of the tournaments was located here in Wichita. And so we had some radio, we had some on-site displays, and we had some program ads that were in the program there. And so just a great way to connect with that target audience that we're trying to hit.
Just to follow up on that a little bit, the crude life, we've been very big proponents of what Warren's talking about. And the example that we've given through the years is the college bowl games. If you go take a look at the college bowl game sponsors, to me, that's a great example of where the oil and gas industry maybe missed an opportunity to connect with the messy middle, the average person. Because the 60s and 70s and 80s was very positive to oil and gas, whether it be from Dallas or the Beverly Hillbillies or Giant, to the 90s, not too much. And then there was a bit of a turn, and that's why there was this missed opportunity to create this positive experience, like a bowl game or March Madness or something along those lines, where it doesn't matter who wins or loses the game, it's the experience. Brought to you by ExxonMobil, brought to you by Kansas Strong, brought to you by, ABC Oil and Gas Company. Instead, it's Pop-Tarts or Duke's Mayonnaise or something along those lines. And so when people are out there asking, maybe within the industry or outside the industry, why does this matter? That is why it matters, is because at the end of the day, you do want to create a positive experience. And by being a main sponsor to allow, to lubricate that positive experience there, Warren. So I don't know if you want to follow up on that at all, but that was just
Yeah,
kind of
that, no,
context.
I think you're exactly right. I think for way too long, the oil industry kind of sat back and felt like we were too big to have to answer or respond to what was going on in the public sphere. You couldn't live without us, and you still can't live without us, but we're at the first point in our life where you could legislate us out of business. And you have we've missed the boat on many occasions to really produce that positive message and be a part of that public conversation and really help people understand what we do. And we're one of the exceptions here in the Big 12. The Big 12 championship is actually sponsored by Phillips 66. So we're one of the exceptions where the oil industry kind of has stepped up in that role and is a part of part of that venue. But you're exactly right. Any experience, positive experience you've had in the past that you really enjoyed, you remember who you were with on that experience. And while sponsorships is a little bit different, it's not like being with a person. When you go and have a positive experience, you tend to remember who helped bring you that positive experience. And that's an important part of advertising.
One of the words that Mr. Warren Martin, Kansas Strong, brought up is legislation. And we can splice the hair many different ways when it comes to that. And it's difficult because, you know, there is a bigger picture involved with some of the legislative properties, some of the bills, some of the science, if you will, even. But it becomes so reactionary. And a lot of times they're designed to distract as well. There's organizations like yourself that kind of put in the effort to weed out and vet certain bills that may be of interest to people in the industry, whether you're a shareholder of an energy company or you work for an energy company, or you just like the fact that owning your own automobile is a really cool thing. Ward, I had a conversation. I have a bet going with a kid in college that they believe in my lifetime, personal car ownership will not be a thing. And so, right, because the new autonomous cars and these kids just can't wait for these monthly autonomous car fees and that kind of thing. So talk to me a little bit about some legislation stuff going on in your neck of the world, because for one, you look out for the industry, but you also look out for small business, mom and pop too, and just kind of the industry overall.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Kansas Strong, we do not lobby, we do not advocate for legislation one way or another. Where our purview comes into play is understanding what's going on in the legislative process and helping people kind of understand what is going on and educate them so that when they go and vote for their representatives, when they vote for the people that are going to be making that legislation, they have a fuller understanding of what the issues are that revolve around energy. And right now, if you can figure out what's going on in the legislation, then you're an absolute genius, because it is so discombobulated with the way that we're normally seeing processes take place that it's really hard to get your thumb on. And so in our neck of the woods, one of probably the biggest issues that's going on is before the Trump administration came into power, we were dealing with the Quad O, especially B and C. Quad O, B, and C, which is our methane emissions regulations that were being rolled out. Now, that's not legislation. It is the regulations that were adopted to enforce the legislation. And one of the things that it required is, if they took it to the fullest extent, is it would require basically every single well, every single pipe, every single tank to have methane monitoring equipment on it, which would push marginal well producers out of business. And the vast majority of wells in Kansas are those marginal well producers that are here. So it was a real threat to the Kansas oil and gas industry. And this is where I talk about how it kind of gets discombobulated, because the news has been running about how Trump has overturned that. And that he's rolled back the Quad O, B, and C. And that's great news for the Kansas oil industry. But what he's really rolled back is he's rolled back the regulation. He's basically said that our administration will not enforce those regulatory practices. And so, yes, he's kind of wiped them off the books, but the legislation still stands. The legislation was still passed by Congress. And so if there's ever a change in the administration, the new administration can decide to roll those back out. So they're not done away with. They're just on pause during the Trump administration. Yet when you read it in the news media, that's not the information that you're getting. You're getting the information that he rolled it back. And so, you know, things like that is what we try and get involved in to help people kind of understand, you know, there's more to this industry and there's more to the conversation than what you're getting from the mainstream media.
One of the things that I found to be difficult in our role, and I'm curious your reaction on this, because We have radio stations 22, 24, 28, depending on if the Twins are playing or the Denver Broncos are playing. And yeah, it depends on some sports schedules and that sort of thing.
You don't want up the Denver Broncos? Come
No,
on
we haven't. We have not preempted the Denver Broncos yet. The Packers twice, but not the Broncos. Just kidding. But so, it's interesting to me because there's a big like disconnect when it comes to just even like FCC regulations. So, things that we talk about, I have to hit a certain sweet spot. People can go back and listen to, 99% of the programming that we've done on the Crude Life, and you're not going to find swear words. You're going to find some in about 1%, maybe, because I think we were doing, some live event podcasting or something along those lines, and we did it for effect or marketing reasons, I guess. But so much of what we do has to be FCC compliant that I always tell people that, we're kind of the vanilla. And you can't have Rocky Road unless you have vanilla. And so you need to have this like standard. Even like if you look at television shows and comedies, you take a look at like The Office, for example. The reason all those secondary characters were so fun was because they had two normal people that were the vanilla, Jim and Pam, and then everybody else just kind of spun off of that. So that was always kind of our role in the oil and gas industry, was to be non-political, and we'd have on politicians, but we'd talk policy. We wouldn't put gas on the fire or anything along those lines. And what I found was that the people love it, but the industry is kind of like, nah, we'd like you to be a little bit more political. What have you found on that, Warren? Because I do think this is interesting as we kind of go into the next chapter of industry, how there's so many public-private events now to where we're starting to see redirection of dollars. And we talked earlier about public sponsoring of either bowl games or other events, and that's just not happening like it should be. Yet everybody's budget has tripled, so it's a little bit different. You know what I mean? Like last time I looked, they've printed more money ever than in the history of the United States. So there's a ton of it out there. Talk to me a little bit about that. How being in the sweet spot is kind of difficult today. It's hard. People, go ahead.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. But the old phrase that everybody throws around and no one adheres to is knowledge is power. And truly, that is the fact. Knowledge is power. And yet, when you go and you watch a lot of the mainstream media, you go talk to the politicians, you go to events where they're industry events and people are standing up and talking, they're not really trying to share with you knowledge and give you a strong understanding of what it is that's actually going on. They're advocating. They're advocating. So everything they say, and that's why a lot of times the industry wants you to turn it up a little bit because they want you to advocate. They don't want you to just tell the facts and tell people, give them a strong understanding of what's going on. They want you to lead the people in the direction that they want them to go. We don't do that at Kansas Strong because we really want people to have knowledge. We know that that knowledge is power. I believe full-heartedly, if people understand how vital the role of oil and natural gas is in lives on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, they will choose the best path forward for our energy future. All they need is the knowledge. They can figure out the next step on their own. And so I don't think it's really necessary vanilla versus rocky road. I think it's much more in the encampment of, are you just trying to share the knowledge and give an strong understanding, or are you trying to lead people in the direction that you want them to go? And I have found every time you try and lead people, the only people that you lead are the people who already believe in what you believe in. And when you actually begin sharing knowledge, you're actually able to grow the number of people that are interested in what it is you're talking about. You're able to grow that base. And that's what we're trying to do, is grow that base, gain that 40%, give them the understanding where they're no longer in that position where they say, I don't know. They're able to say, you know what? I have this knowledge base, and I know where I stand on oil and gas now.
It's interesting too, and we haven't really mentioned this from our programming standpoint in years, but when we were soliciting the oil and gas program, the crude life, to the radio stations originally, every radio station would ask, about okay spills and all these different things that make all the national headlines. BP and X. One of them actually, I'm not kidding you, Warren. One of them asked me about Exxon Valdez, dude. That happened in the '80s. That was like in '80s, man. And people are still talking about that.
We just had the anniversary last week, or I think it was last week or the week before. We just had the anniversary of that.
And so, I mean, I mean, some people just could never let go of an accident. And like, think of all the things we gained from that. And that's what I come back with. I said, I'm glad that you brought that up because that is what our programming is. We're focusing on the community building, we're focusing on the innovation, and we're focusing on the cultivation of, the things that oil and gas brings, to be the supply chain and the products and all these different things. I said, there's so many other people covering that other stuff that you're talking about. We're not going to do that. We don't need to do that. There's so many other things that are positive that the industry is bringing that can be done in a non-political way. That was what our mission was from the get-go. And we haven't changed it because I still see the industry leading the environmental movement by creating innovations that is and are making our world better, our quality of life better, and as well. Didn't want to use better twice. That's just bad speech and bad grammar. And I was
Well,
taught
get better,
better.
man. Get better.
I got to be better than that, man. It's so it's they're not all award winners, Warren. They're not all award winners here. But
But
you go
you're
ahead.
exactly right. You're exactly right on that. And the fact that, most people in America don't realize that the oil and gas industry, we've spent more money than the federal government has to address environmental concerns. We've become the world's leader in oil and gas production, all the while reducing our emissions, carbon emissions, CO2 emissions, and methane emissions. We've reduced our emissions going forward. We're able to do more work with the same amount of energy because we've improved our efficiency. In fact, the fastest growing energy category today is efficiency and being able to use the resource to do more work than we could years ago. We've learned how to take every single molecule in a barrel of oil and turn it into products that better human lives. And so, those are things that aren't often talked about. But anytime I go on road, we had a pipeline spill here about 2 years ago, and I got all kinds of calls and went on. And I used the opportunity to talk about, yes, it happens. But 99.99% of all oil that goes down a pipeline arrives at its destination without incident. It's the safest way to transport oil and gas that is on Earth today. And on top of that, let me talk to you about all the ways that environmentally we do remediation to clean up any type of a spill like that, to return the land to even better condition than it was before. And we need to take those opportunities instead of just getting into the oil is good or oil is bad or oil is good or oil is bad and going back and forth. We need to really get into those moments of education because that's really what people want. They know that there's going to be a talking head that's going to say it's good. There's going to be a talking head that say it's bad. What they really want to know is why. What's the knowledge behind where you're standing? And that's really the hole that we're trying to fill. And I don't think there's very many people out there that are trying to fill that hole.
Was that Washington County?
Yes.
Oh my word, I'm still not an old man yet. My memory is
You got
still
it.
there. Well, and here's why. When those spills happened, and it didn't matter if it was Huntington Beach, didn't matter if it was Kansas, didn't matter if it was Tioga, North Dakota, we do cover those stories in a different way. I do remember talking to emergency. Usually we'll talk to some government officials and we'll talk to some emergency responders because they'll tell you what they've done. And then also, they'll be the first ones to say that a lot of the equipment that we fight so many other daily battles was purchased by the oil and gas companies. Oh, and by the way, the one incident out of 10 years, they funded everything else. And so that was an eye opener to me when I started seeing that, like Hess would write a check for $65,000 so a volunteer fire department in Tioga can have four new walkie-talkies because the state required them to get it. People don't understand that type of thing, and it happens on a regular basis. So we were really excited at the Crude Life to share those stories and tell those stories while the rest of the world said, look at how bad they are there. Look at how bad they are. And we're like, no, look at how good they are. Look at what they've done. But I grew up around agriculture where, you know, I mean, there was an accident every week in our county in agriculture, and that was just part of how we dealt with it. But anyway, before we go too far down the rabbit hole, down those different areas, let's talk a little bit about some engagement that's happening here, because that's really what we're talking about at the core here, is how to engage with others so that when a spill happens, they can be more open-minded instead of being narrowly focused on certain trigger words and buzzwords. And you've got two celebrities that you're going to be working with here, or you have worked with, I guess I'll find out. Different spectrums in the terms of Hollywood, different spectrums probably politically too, a little bit. No, I think Dennis is a little bit more on the Republican side, I guess, but Dennis Quaid and Glenn Beck. Let's talk a little bit about those experiences. We'll start with Dennis Quaid. What's happening?
Yeah, we were real honored to be connected or approached by the Dennis Quaid team. He has a, and this is actually through the public broadcasting system, PBS television. He has a TV show that he produces that airs on PBS that's called Turning Point with Dennis Quaid. And they reach out to try and find companies, businesses, stories that are really showing innovation. And it was really interesting. They reached out to us, told us kind of what their show premise was. And I was like, you know, we don't build anything. We don't make anything. And they said that, you know, what we want to talk to you about is your innovation of changing the conversation about the oil and gas industry. And so they recognized and reached out to us about that we are talking about the industry in a different way. We're communicating in a different way. We're educating in a different way. And our innovation is not having the same conversation everybody else in the world is having. And so they sent their team out. Won't be meeting with Dennis Quaid directly or anything like that. They send the team out. They do a mini documentary on what it is we're doing, how we're changing the conversation about the oil and gas industry. And then they take that back to the studio, and he does the intro and the outro, and then it becomes an available show for public broadcast or PBS television stations. Because a lot of those PBS television stations, you can go and you can buy airtime. And a lot of times those shows that are put on the air, they don't fill a full 30 minutes, or they don't fill a full 15-minute segment. And so these are shows that are available to every station across the nation, that if you have a show that ends 5 minutes early, you can grab this show and plug it into that spot to get you back on schedule. And it's kind of that type of a show. But it's a great opportunity for us to get into especially a network that is generally not very positive towards the oil and gas industry, and maybe begin to open some eyes and some ears that there is a different way to have a conversation about the oil and gas industry. And so we're excited about that.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I have a couple questions for you here. And I wanted to compare it with something that we had with the Crude Life. And about 3 years ago, I want to say it was right after COVID maybe, Ted Danson had reached out to us, his people.
Yeah.
He had a show for Amazon Prime, and we made it through a couple interviews, but we didn't get picked. So we weren't fortunate like you. We didn't make it to the final round, if you will, the dating game. We didn't get picked. We were one of the rejects. But it did open my eyes a lot about how they were asking me a lot of the similar things. The reason they reached out to us was because of our point of view towards the industry, a lot what we just discussed, where we had it in a perspective like nobody else, tried to bring a positive look even at some very difficult subjects, like the Dakota Access Pipeline, for example, having on some reporters, no matter what they're, you know, and didn't censor them, so to speak. We wouldn't necessarily agree with them, but we wouldn't censor them either. And so it's very interesting that they're Hollywood, if you will, is looking at now bringing in a new conversation to the oil and gas industry. Do you think this is going to be with Landman too, which we'll talk about in a second, but Landman starting the conversation? You have PBS now trying to say, hey, let's not get so fast to demonize the oil and gas industry. We got Dennis Quaid here, Meg Ryan's husband or ex-husband. I don't know if they're married still or not. I don't keep up with the tabloids, and a lot of my grocery stores don't have tabloids in the deal anymore. So talk to me a little bit about that, about how do you think this is happening? The conversation is happening, or?
I think that a lot of news networks, media outlets, those types of places, maybe not a lot, but some of them are beginning to wake up and realize that people do want to have a conversation. I think they're waking up to the reality that the word news is not the Greek root word for negative. That's not what it is. It's supposed to be talking about, you know, what it is that's going on around us and what's impacting our lives. And I think that we went through a cycle where we were fed so much misinformation from both sides. We were fed so much misinformation that people got to where they didn't trust anything that they heard. And I think there's a real desire from a lot of media to try and get back to honest stories that actually are talking about things that people want to know. And what, you know, what the Dennis Quaid team really got excited about was they followed me to a school and recorded me doing an entire class with a group of students and talking about the oil and gas industry, talking all the way from how it's, where it comes from, where it originates from, to history, all the way to the chemistry of refining and the products that we wear every day. We went through the entire process in less than an hour. And the one thing that I hear every single time I do that in the classroom for the first time is a teacher coming up to me afterwards saying, I had absolutely no idea that oil was that much a part of our lives. And I think that that is the realness that a lot of media is starting to look for in storytelling, is getting back to that realness that is of real concern to the people who are watching.
Dennis Quaid is still a pretty well-known celebrity. I can't think of a movie off the top of my head I've seen. But
he's in a brand new show that just came out on Paramount Plus. I think it's Paramount Plus. Came out Paramount Plus called Happy Face. And he plays a serial killer. Yeah, plays a serial killer.
It's my lead thing on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I've been streaming Frasier. Do you remember the show Frasier?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a prom coming up and I need to get some high society in me or something. I don't know, but I've been streaming Frasier, and so with Paramount Plus, it's Happy Face. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I didn't realize he was in that, but he's I've always been a fan of his since, you know, Enemy Mine and Inner Space and some of the other ones. I'm more of an 80s baby, so you know, that's what I grew up with. But next, I want to go to the next celebrity, unless there's any final thoughts. No. Is it coming up? Do you know when it's going to air?
We're in post-production right
now.
We don't have a timeline on it yet, but that will be coming. And of course, we got a lot of other elements out of that we'll be broadcasting through our social media and through our webpage and stuff. So yeah, you'll be able to check that out probably end of April sometime.
And we're talking with Warren Martin, Kansas Strong. Just got done talking about his interview with Dennis Quaid's Turning Point, which will be on PBS upcoming. They followed him to a school, and the theme or the thesis of the show is changing the conversation and having a positive conversation when it comes to the oil and gas industry and how Warren Martin's been doing it for years and years and years. And then we go to Glenn Beck. Yeah. And Glenn Beck is probably going to be a little bit more polarizing than a Dennis Quaid. Glenn Beck, though, I'll tell you what, he's been very successful. He's a forward thinker, and his Glenn Beck Blaze Network, I believe, is the name of it. Yeah. He was one of the early adapters, and everyone talks now about, oh, Tucker Carlson and Tucker this. Glenn Beck did it first. Like Glenn Beck was one of the originals that showed everybody how to do it. And, you know, I followed his career. I think he started out as a DJ, I want to say, and then he got into talk radio. And so he's had a lot of different ups and downs and some different personas, kind of almost like Jerry Springer. People don't remember Jerry Springer was the mayor of Cincinnati, was it? He was like a mayor. And so he was a big political guy and a serious guy beforehand. But talk to me about your project. that you have with Glenn Beck and why you chose Glenn Beck.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. He's more polarizing, and that's why we chose him. We chose him because he has a strong following. In that following, he has the tendency to be able to activate that following. I talked a little bit earlier about that messy middle and how there's 11% of the state that hates us and 23% of the state that loves us, and then there's a messy middle where they're kind of unsure. Well, we hardly ever speak to the, we never speak to the 11%. We hardly ever speak to the 23%. We focus everything on that middle. This is that one exception. Part of changing the conversation that we're beginning to see is if you watch people talk about the oil and gas industry on Facebook or social media of any kind, if you watch people argue about it, they don't really talk about it. They argue about it. The conversation usually is either one person with all of his friends agreeing with him, or one person with everybody in the world jumping on them, and there's really no conversation that's taking place there. So what we're doing is we're engaging with Glenn Beck to really kind of focus in on talk radio in Kansas. It's not a general broadcast for us. It's really geared towards the more conservative audience in the state of Kansas, with the goal of activating them, getting them to go to our website, where we have basically talking points on here's things that people need to know about the oil and gas industry, shareables, where we're going to have social media posts that they can share onto their social media platforms, ways that they can help out with our industry to get into public schools, to get us into their Kiwanis clubs, Rotary clubs, those types of things. And so this one, we're not trying to convince anyone or change anyone's mind. We're trying to help the 23% that are already favorable towards our industry have a avenue where they can have better conversations within their communities and get us involved in their communities to have those conversations. So maybe we can get back to that general audience. And so that this will be the first time we've done something like this. It's going to be exciting to kind of see how it works and how effective it is.
What's interesting to me about Glenn Beck is he's one of the more passionate talk show hosts. And I think a lot of times at first, his passion comes across and it's a little intimidating for people. And I know several of his like very good followers, and they really appreciate how he just continues to put himself out there. And he's not afraid to admit his mistakes, and he's so much passion with trying to do self-betterment that it scares people. And that's the part that I think is so funny, is that here's a guy that's so passionate about doing good and being right that it could honestly scare some people at times. But is that activism you're talking about, to where he can connect with some very passionate people because he puts himself out there so passionately? That's how I viewed it.
Yeah, I think that if you've watched him for years, I've watched and listened to him for years, as I do all kinds of media all over the place. And one of the things I've noticed is that he has a very loyal, strong following, and he is often able to activate them to respond. His audience responded to what happened in Israel. His audience responded to what happened in North Carolina with the hurricane. His audience has responded to so many things in very amazing ways. And so I think that he does have that passion. You know, I tell people all the time, as a public speaker like I am, one of the things I get accused of is that I will say absolutely anything on stage. And it scares people sometimes because they're not exactly sure what I'm going to say. There has to be that element in every public speaker if they're any good. You have to have that element where people believe that you might say just about anything from the stage, because that's why they pay attention. That's why they listen, to see what it is exactly that you're going to say. And so, you know, Glenn, and he can get a little bit out there sometimes, but I think on the most part, people know that he has a good heart that is geared in the right direction, and that he earnestly desires to understand what is best for people. And his listeners and his audience, they respect that. And so when he gives a call to action, they tend to follow. And that's why we've taken out this advertising opportunity with him.
I actually think it'll be very successful. I think it'll probably be more successful than the Dennis Quaid and even what Oklahoma tried to do with Mike Rowe, where they brought in Mike Rowe to go and tour some rigs and that sort of thing. They're nice and they help with the marketing, but to me that seems like the norm. And right now you have to do things that are outside the norm. You have to do things that are kind of outside the box. And yeah. Glenn Beck is that, and he's definitely.
And I think you gotta go. I think you gotta go on further. You gotta do things right now. We've got to do things that doesn't leave people in the position where they just watch and say, "I agree" or "I disagree." We've got to do things that leave people in a position where they have to answer the question: am I going to respond or am I not going to respond? And challenge them to that response, because you know we've been called a lot of people that support the oil and gas industry have been called the silent majority for decades and decades and decades, and you know we cannot continue moving forward as an industry in an effective way if we continue to be that silent majority, especially here in Kansas, where we don't have major corporations, we don't have the major oil industries to fund big campaigns. We need the people in our industry. We need the people who are supportive of our industry to be advocates for the industry.
You know, it's interesting because when you take a look at, like I mentioned the Mike Rowe example where he went out to Oklahoma, and I forget which group in Oklahoma did it, if it was the petroleum or the gas or which one. And it's not about that. It's not about that. So I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers or tick off anybody or anything along those lines. But, you know, when I take a look at that, for example, you know, or the PBS versus the PBS one, who's behind it does have a lot to do with it, you know, and who's bringing it out. And that's one of the things I find so interesting about how a lot of these are positioned. And when I take a look at what Landman has been able to do over the past year, and now with the announcement of Landman 2, I still believe, Warren, that this is one of the best opportunities that industry has to grab the conversation and really help the industry quite a bit. Whether or not the script is going to be matching to what the industry wants or not is a whole different story. But where do you see Landman in the conversation compared to with like a Glenn Beck or a Dennis Quaid or, you know, Mike Rowe with the oil and gas petroleum associations in the state and that sort of thing? I just think it's on different levels. That's all.
Yeah. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, there's no one conversation that's going to settle the issue. There's no one conversation. It's about conversations in different formats, different ways with different people at different times to build a cohesive understanding of the oil and gas industry. Landman, I think, has been very valuable to the oil and gas industry. Even though you and I did the podcast and I disagreed with a lot of things that were in Landman, I think it's been extremely beneficial to the industry. Ever since it came out, every single speaking engagement I've had people come up to me afterwards and ask, have you seen Landman? Is that really what it's like? And that's a great conversation starter. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to change the conversation about the oil and gas industry. Number one, you can't change a conversation that no one's having. You have to have the conversation in order to be able to change the conversation. And it's doing that. It's starting that conversation. Second, the number one question everybody asks is that the way it really is? And we've talked on the show about the things that are realistic and the ones that aren't realistic. But just asking that question, is that the way it really is, opens the door to really talk about different issues and what it's really like in the oil and gas industry and how that really impacts someone's life. And you can't take away the value. It's very valuable to the conversation. It's very valuable to our industry, even if it's not extremely accurate.
So let me ask you this, then, because this is one of the things I think industry will have a hard time with. And it surprises me because there's a lot of people in industry that are very well compensated at a very high levels to understand this type of marketing, this type of social engineering, if you will. What you said 30 seconds ago hit the nail on the head. you can't change the conversation if they ain't having the conversation. And so, like, one of my biggest fears for season two is the best storyline I can think of for Landman, which is the cartel out of Mexico invests so much in the American oil company that they're essentially tied at the hip, giving the impression that the oil cartel and the Mexican cartel, drug cartel, are one and the same. And to me, I hope it goes that way so we can continue to have the conversation of how ridiculous that is, and bring them down from, you know, Gilligan's Island, where you can build a radio out of a coconut, to reality that it doesn't work that easy. I actually think that's easier to have a conversation with people like that than talking STEM and science and some of the other things that we've been investing all this money in. I mean, give me Billy Bob, man. Give me Billy Bob. But what's your take on that?
No, I think, I mean, I was in a grocery store. I was in a grocery store just the other day, and I was just buying a couple things. And the lady that was behind, working behind the counter, a young lady that was working behind the counter, she asked me if I wanted a bag, a plastic bag. And I just had two things, and I'm like, no, I don't want a plastic bag. You know, we'll save a plastic tree today. There's not very many plastic trees left in the world. You know, just making a joke. And she just looks at me, and in all serious, she looks at me and she goes, I know, Lorax. It fundamentally changed my life. And she was talking about the movie Lorax, that's talking about trees and clean air and that kind of stuff. Is there any historical or any scientific basis that makes that absolutely, you know, makes that true or even realistic? Absolutely not. But it planted an idea that has stuck with her, that when, you know, years later, when I'm talking about a plastic bag, she relates that back to the movie Lorax. And I think that we have missed the boat in many ways by allowing the oil and gas industry to only be portrayed one way in movies in order for decades and decades and decades. And we've missed out on those conversation starters about having it portrayed in other ways and where people actually ask questions. It's got to the point in the early 2000s and 2010s where all you had to do was say, oh, it comes from the oil industry. And that one statement summed up everything bad about whatever the bad guys were doing, because it was such a concrete idea that was used in media. And so I think that we do need to invest more in movies, and we need to invest more in media. We need to invest more in different things to bring the conversation into our popular culture, not necessarily as an educational program, but, you know, like everybody else does, drop nuggets here and there that make people go, huh, what? And ask questions. Because once you begin to ask questions, we as humans, if you honestly ask a question, you as a human, that's a real question you want to know, you're not going to be satisfied till you get the answer to it. And that's the real challenge for our industry, is to get better at asking questions, putting content out there that asks questions, and trusting that people are going to go and seek out the knowledge that they need to answer that question. And I think that Landman does that. It's making people ask a lot of questions. And, you know, then we got to have other organizations like ours, like yours, that are out there that are providing answers for those people who are asking questions and giving them the information they need to be able to answer that question themselves. And so I think it's all part of it. There's not one way that you turn the ship around and get it going in the right direction. It's going to take all of the components coming together to be able to turn that ship in the direction that is positive for a positive energy future.
You brought up another good point I'd like to elaborate on before we conclude the interview here, and that is that for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, at least since the early 2000s, probably since Captain Planet came out in the late 90s, the oil and gas executive played a villain in the business role.
Yep.
And ever since Michael J. Fox, Secret of My Success, wanting to get to the top tower of the office building, the whole office world has been the new jungle, if you will, the new, you know, place where you go get your food. It's a place where you, the hunter and gatherer, you go to the office to go hunt. That's how you get your... That's how you get it. And so when you take a look at that, the executive was the bad guy, much like Johnny was the bad guy in Karate Kid. It was a stereotype. You instantly knew Billy Bob Thornton has brought a complexity to help you understand and connect why that role existed, because they deal with so many high pressure, high stress situations that their world becomes so black and white, and then their home life is so messed up and all these other things. So that's helped. But Jacob LaFleur, I forget how to pronounce his last name. I'm sorry if you're watching, but he's the first good guy I've seen come along in 20 years. You know what I mean? He's the first like good guy portrayed as an oil and gas person, like who's this
Right.
salt of the earth type thing. That's a big deal. And I don't think the average person understands that, how often that the oil and gas industry, they were the villain without even knowing it, just by being the ruthless snake oil salesman executive, if you will. Yeah, anyway, that's a great observation. I think people should be aware of that too, because that's those Easter eggs that you can find in shows that have nothing to do with oil and gas.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so industry needs to figure out a way to reverse that around, and shows like you're doing with Dennis Quaid and some of the other ones are really going to do that. So as we kind of recap here, Warren, we went a little into overtime here, but Kansas did against Arkansas as well. So I guess to stay with the theme of the podcast and radio program, any final thoughts here today?
I think definitely look for those shows coming out. They'll be coming out, in the next few months. Glenn Beck will only be here in Kansas. The PBS show will be available nationwide, but it'll be up to each station whether they bring it on or not. But you'll be able to get all that content through our website. And I really encourage people to check out what we're doing with this Glenn Beck campaign, because I think it's something that could be replicated in other states and in other places. To really help move the conversation along. So I just encourage everybody to check us out at kansasstrong.com in probably about a month, and all of that stuff will be up and you'll be able to check it out.